Maybe in another life I could find you there. Pulled away before your time, I can't deal. It's so unfair, and it feels like heaven so far away. And it feels like the world has grown cold now that you've gone away.
Hey,
welcome to Wicked Wednesday.
Yeah.
Welcome everybody.
Huh?
Yeah, we're a little bit late. If you're joining us live, we're a little bit late. But if you're not, then you probably don't know.
Yeah. If this is like you're catching up with us tomorrow or after that,
Like I know some of our peeps catch it, you know, like sure, like Dev, I know catch it like the day. So I don't know what that is, Doc. Dogs.
Yeah, it took my toe. It's okay.
Okay. Then we're good. We can continue on with this show.
Random dog barks. As long as you know, it took my toe. We're okay.
I didn't hear any growling or screaming, so I think we're okay.
Yeah. And my dog stayed under the coffee table through all that. So yeah, we're good.
Cool. Yeah. So I do want to say it is Wicked Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Wickedly.
It is a full moon in Gemini.
Mm-hmm. So put out your moon water.
Yes. Put out your moon water, charge your crystals, set your intentions. But also just, you know, be aware, like if you happen to be a Gemini, I think it's Gemini and Sagittarius that are like mostly affected by this particular moon. So just be careful because we might hurt your feelings. We might hurt your feelings.
Don't get pissed.
Yeah, like if you're tight with a gem or a Sag, just be kind. Just know that we're going through some things.
Gemini. Yeah, they're stabby.
Sometimes we're stabby. So I do have to say, I have heard this kind of across the board now from several people that this has kind of been a shit week. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's all leading up to this last full moon, the cold moon, you know, like I don't, we call it a cold moon and it's like 70 degrees outside right now. So
it's a lukewarm moon.
Yeah. It's very warm and moist outside.
Moist,
like it's not really raining, but you still have to use your wiper to wipe here and there because it's like it's stupid and I don't like that. And I need the sun to come out. I'm tired of being so dreary and like sad.
Mm-hmm.
And like I know this is like kind of a lot of people have had some shit happen during the week, and our moods aren't quite so there and we're not quite ourselves, but let's get through that with this full moon. We're going to put it out there. It's all going to be good. We're going to make it good again.
Good again. Our moods good again.
Make our goods too. Yeah.
I'm going to make hats.
Hats?
Making our moods great again.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do need one. We do need that. Yeah. Maybe like a scarf.
Oh, a scarf.
Because in case you need to like use it, you have the scarf. And then you're like, no, don't do that. Don't choose violence. Make your mood great again. And you put your scarf back on.
Oh.
Sweet, right?
Sounds really just sweet.
I'm sweet.
It is sweet. I can't see me in the scarf though. I'm sorry, I can't.
Now that you said, like, I don't really think I can either, to be honest. Like, I'm like trying to think about it, and I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe that doesn't work.
Yeah, I now that you say that, I can't see you in a scarf either.
No, And I do it sometimes. I mean, I did it like when it's cold, like when we did February, Old South Pittsburgh. Yeah, I was, oh, for sure, I was wearing a scarf.
Yeah.
Because it was weird.
Amongst 30 other layers.
Yeah, I did have a lot. So yeah, I do wear a scarf from time to time. Only when it's really cool. It's like, feels choky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that feeling. It makes me, So like even like necklaces, like choker necklaces, nope. I'm gonna have to stay away from that. Like,
yeah, I tend to too.
So I'll just like, you know, just wear more clothes and skip the scarf. Skip the scarf. Yeah.
I guess we're down to t-shirts and hats.
Yeah, that's where we're at. Maybe like a sticker.
A sticker.
Just one sticker.
I like it. Or like a worry stone with it engraved in it. That would work.
Yeah.
That way you can just keep it in your pocket. And you go to get mad and you cram your hand down your pocket and then you feel it and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I have to make my mood great again.
Make it great again. Yeah. So everybody just know you're not alone. It's rough. It's rough out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And on that regard, I mean, during the holidays, you know, depression is a real thing. And so I want to address that just super, super, super duper quick that, you know, it affects all of us differently. And if you've got a friend that's always happy, you know, still just double check them. So just because you don't know if they're covering it up, if they're down, if they're not themselves, just ask, dude, are you okay? You're not quite yourself. And, you know, now they have the new crisis line and suicide prevention line nationwide. That's 988, just like 911, but 988. Good people doing good work. So, you know, keep a lookout for everybody and look out for yourself. And if you're feeling funky, you know, call a friend, call that number.
But yep. Call friends. There's always someone that will listen. There's always someone that will listen. Always. And and that's real during the holidays. I mean, I feel it myself because, you know, we're coming, it would be like my daughter would be turning 21 this year.
Yep.
And, you know, it's rough. It hits me hard. And, you know, I kind of don't celebrate the same way that I used to because it's all, everything's changed. So, but you know, just check on your friends because even the ones that are always smiling. Yeah. Like you said, check on those people because those people, a lot of times,
they feel they have to show that
because they don't want to worry people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want people to have to, they don't feel like people are going out of their way to look after them.
Yeah. So and they're usually the people that are going out of their way to look after other people and neglecting themselves.
Yeah. And they don't ask for help. So yeah, just be chill. And I have to be grateful because we've gotten some things this week. I want to say thank you to TJ.
TJ,
thank you. The gifts you sent us are very
that was amazing.
And they were
my angel on right now.
Yeah, and I'm wearing my moon. So like thank you. Thank you very much for thinking of us and in the pictures and
yes.
We're so grateful to have you as a friend. We're grateful that you are on our show and we love you. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Love you, love you.
Love you, love you. Also, like, Devin surprised me last night or yesterday evening with some little protection spell jars that she made for Zach and I. And
that's the pictures you sent me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Beautiful. And I love to see it, like it makes my heart happy to see baby witches and what they do and the spells they create and how different it is to see the way people do things, that you know how we make our spell jars a little bit different. And I love that. And it was beautiful and it was very heartfelt and Zach and I love them and we did put them under our beds. So our protection jars are under our beds. Yay. So I'm grateful for that. I've had like, I just, people are like super cool this week. I also came home from the doctor today and I had some eggs on my front porch.
Farm fresh?
Farm fresh from Pine Grove Farm. And
porch eggs.
But yeah, I have porch eggs. Yay, listen, y'all, listen. That's what we got today. I got porch eggs and porch soap. And both are glorious. She makes goat milk soap because they have goats. And she makes goat milk soap. And it's lovely. She sent me two soaps and in a very nice card. And
I saw a picture of one of the soaps and it was, yes, it was very nice.
Two dozen eggs. So like, thank you, Jessica. You are a very sweet for sending that to us and we love you. And thank you for taking so much. So, yeah. Thanks for like, letting my son hang out at your farm. He loves it. So y'all, if you live close to us, get their eggs. They are pretty. You get different colors and they do local delivery.
So, shout out to them. Fancy.
They are fancy. I love their eggs. Their eggs are so much better. And if you compare them to like a store egg, you can tell. I don't know what you're doing right now, but you better get out. I'm so sorry. And it's a struggle and it's real. Did you have any porch trout this week?
I did, but no trout. It's still chicken stuff.
What's happening in the universe?
I don't know.
It's a chicken thing. So you got chicken and I got eggs.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Matter of fact, it's still on my front porch because I came in because I was running to get, in for the show. And I was scared to go back out there once I learned of the technical difficulties that were slowing us down. But I was scared as soon as I go out there to get it and start unpacking it, it would be, okay, 10 seconds. So it's my porch trout or porch chicken, whatever's out there is still out there on the front porch.
Have porch eggs.
Yeah. So once Chandler gets home, I'll make him unpack it. There is shrimp on my front porch though.
Oh, it's wicked shrimp because it's
wicked Wednesday porch shrimp.
Yeah. It's perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
So tonight, we have something a little different. What we had planned on, we couldn't find the main component. So I will work on that, but we couldn't find the actual flavor that we needed to try the one. So we'll put that off. And we still have another one that we need to try that Heather sent us. But
did she send you that post of like the where you can buy like all the different components to make these weird shots?
Yeah.
Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, that would keep us in like tasters for like 2 years.
Yeah, like it's so cool. Like, why can't they have that around here?
And then there's Ziploc bags with like a shot or two, and then like the Gatorade or whatever you're gonna mix with it. I mean, just everything for this weird shit that we keep mixing up is in like a Ziploc bag and is labeled what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Anything you can think of. So yeah, that was incredible. But tonight we're just going basic with a. Who knows what it is?
It's 99 mystery flavor. And now the label says scratch and sniff, but that's a lie.
That's a lie? Is there a scratcher on? There is.
So I don't know.
What the hell? Okay. I hope it doesn't taste like that.
About the label? Because the label just smells like a label. So yeah, let's hope it's not.
It's label flavored. Mine's watered down. I hope I can still taste what it is because I poured it over ice.
You're going to be fine. Mine is on ice too. Okay. So this tonight, our mystery shot is going to be dedicated to all those that have had a really shitty week. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Are we shooting it or sipping it?
Well, I'm going to probably sip it because I'm a little scared. Mystery makes me nervous, but let's give it a go. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. What the hell is that?
Okay, I'm.
Is it a?
I want you to guess because I know because she told
me. He slipped up.
She said, "She goes, oh, that tastes bad." And then she said, "Look at the label." She's like, and it tells you what it is. If you just look at the label. I'm looking. So, do you know? Taste it again.
I'm scared to.
Do it. Just do it. Come on.
Just do it. Okay, hold on.
Everybody's doing it. Don't let your kids listen to this show. Tell me what it is. Smell it.
All right, I'm looking at the label because I have no idea. Is it a nut?
I guess so. Is it
a nuttier flavor?
No, it's not a nut.
That's not a nut flavor?
No.
Can you taste it knowing what it is?
I cheated, yes, because the lady told me and I was like, oh, now I can't. That's not a mystery. No, it's smell it. What kind of, does it smell kind of buttery to you?
Yeah. It's almost like a butter pecan.
It's popcorn.
Oh, really? Popcorn?
Now look at the label again. Look in like the top left corner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Popcorn flavored shot. Okay, hold on.
Does it taste kinda better now that you know what it is?
Yes, but it doesn't make it taste better.
You warned me. You said it's not good.
You know when somebody's trying to make a sale and they're like, oh yeah, that's not good.
She's like, she's like, no.
She didn't lie though. Go back and give her like a $5 tip because she did not lie.
No. And I explained to her, I was like, what we do. And she was like, oh, she's like, that one's not good. She's like, maybe you should try this one. And I was like, no, we're going in. So anyway, yeah. If anyone was curious, the 99 mystery flavor.
Which we just totally spoiler alerted.
We're spoiling it for everyone. It's not a mystery anymore. It's popcorn. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we also saving you from trying it, thinking it might be wonderful.
I'm going to have to think of something in my brain that you could mix this with.
To make it good.
Yeah. Oh wait, hold on.
Caramel.
What if you mix it? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Caramel. So caramel popcorn.
Okay, we'll have to try that.
And then like mix it with maybe just like some club soda.
Yeah, it can't hurt.
It can't. Nothing can hurt at this point.
Wow. Yeah, no. No, no. And we've tried some weird stuff and it's all been good.
Yeah, but not today.
Not today.
Not on the full moon. I did it to us. I was told it was bad, but I went in anyway because I was like, when she told me what the flavor is, I was like, I'm going to have to know.
Yeah, curiosity was piqued and you have to at that point.
Yeah. So why not do it, you know, tonight?
Popcorn.
Popcorn, yeah. So, before we, something weird happened to my phone right now. I don't know. Okay, so before we bring on our guests, have you had any ghostly things happening today?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing. No, it's been like really quiet over the last couple weeks, really.
Interesting.
So how about there?
I'm assuming that you have not moved the cameras.
No. Wow. Because it's not there anymore. It left, so I don't need to move the camera.
It might be back. You never know.
Yeah. No, I have not moved the camera yet. I keep meaning to, but yeah. I don't know. I will come like first of next week, I'll move it, because then it'll be easier.
That it will.
Yes.
Okay. So what?
Nothing happening at your house though?
No, actually it's been no, I take that back. I don't know. You know, I always play the game of, is it a cat or is it a ghost?
Yeah.
So baby bug sometimes decides that she needs to go in cabinets when she's feeling anxious. It's an anxiety thing for her, I think. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's nothing like laying on a good loaf of bread to ease your anxiety.
Right. That, yeah, there was that one time. So, but typically she doesn't mess with like the cabinets where I keep my herbs and stuff and all my, you know, the magical cabinet.
Yeah, the magical cabinet. Yeah.
I don't know what else to call it. But you know, where I keep all my things like that. And that's been a weird thing. Like the cabinet has been opening again.
Uh-huh.
And for a while, like it was a thing like, okay, well, someone painted it before I got it. Someone had painted it, which does make me a little bit sad, but someone had painted it and, painted over the like magnets that kind of hold the cabinet shut.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of like scraped them off. Like I used, you know, some sandpaper and kind of scraped it down. And but there for a while, but not probably in the last, I'm going to say 6 or 8 months, the cabinet has stayed shut. Before that, right. It was very frequently to the point where it was taped shut.
Right.
And then it started doing its opening thing again.
Mm-hmm.
To the point like my sister taped it shut. My sister taped it shut while she was here. And anyway, but so that's been happening again. And I can't say that it's every day. I can't say that there are certain things that cause that to happen. Typically I don't like wake up in the morning and it's open. It's usually like I'm at my desk working. I get up to get like a snack from the fridge or some water or whatever. And I get up and I go into the kitchen and it's open. And I'm like, okay.
That's it.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you know.
So has baby bug been interested in it now?
No, but it, which is thankfully Jesus Lord, because she's not tiny.
No.
And I'm afraid that the cabinet will come open and she will go from the table, the kitchen table, into said cabinet.
Uh-huh.
And cause
a lot of havoc.
Yeah. It will be detrimental to many things. So I'm trying to keep an eye on that. So Spirit, if you are listening, Can we maybe keep that to a minimum, please? Because babe bug.
Yeah. Because cat.
Because, and there's a lot of glass in there. A lot.
A lot of glass. And little jars.
And little jars. And they're all full of things. So if havoc were to ensue, like, I don't even know what would happen in that cabinet.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine?
Don't unleash the beast. Please.
She makes her own little spell jar in the cabinet.
Like, oh, baby bug. Baby bug, if you're listening, please
stay out of the cabinet. Yeah, the cabinet.
So yeah, there's that. So I guess without further ado, we should bring our guest on.
We should.
So tonight we have Blaine Rowan. Blaine, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Blaine.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
How you doing, brother?
Man, I've had the best week ever. Everybody's talking about bad weeks. I got promoted this week, got a pay raise. Shoot, I could, and I get to work from home. So I'm having a great week.
Wow. Well, we know where all the good vibes went then. Thanks. Yeah.
I mean, I get to work from home too, but I'm not disappointed now. It's not cutting it this week.
Yeah, I even haven't made it through a full day at work yet this week. So,
but congratulations on your promotion. That is amazing. Yeah,
definitely.
Oh, I was happy about it.
Yeah, bad.
And plus, I get to work from home. I don't have to drive nowhere. The biggest traffic jam I've got is two dogs trying to get my way walking from the bedroom into the living room. / my kitchen area where I work from. So yeah, I've got it pretty easy.
I feel that. With traffic. I have cat traffic.
Yeah, one of the things I want to caveat on is I appreciate you guys talking about asking for help, because I'm a veteran, and when you have 22 people a day commit suicide, that's one too many.
Yeah.
Like you said, call somebody. I've always offered up. I got a master's degree in psychology. I will be more than happy to talk to anybody that needs to be talked down. Because I watched too many veterans take their own lives, and that's unacceptable for me.
Yep, I agree 100%.
And anybody else, there's always somebody to talk to. Life is not that bad that you can't talk to somebody and work stuff out.
Yep.
And nobody will judge. I mean, my house is always open. If you come over and need to talk, I'll brew a pot of coffee.
Yep.
Make you a sandwich, whatever you want, and we'll talk. But yeah, y'all were talking about ghost activity in your house. Mine is like, since I'm an empath medium, I have spirits every day. And I have this one little boy, 11 years old, named Billy. And that is the most little bitty shit. He will turn on the hairdryer in the middle of the night. He has turned on the garbage disposal at night. He will turn every light on in the house. And the way I get him back, we have a little 12-year-old girl named Lily. And I tease him. I said, keep it up, and I'm going to have Lily give you a big kiss right on your mouth. And he'll behave for 2 or 3 days.
Nice.
But he is a little shit. Golly. What's even funny is, like, in our spare bathroom, my wife's got like one of those opening things that sits on top of the lid.
Mm-hmm.
This little jackass will take it and put it in the middle of the floor in the bathroom. Just leave it in the middle of the floor.
See, now if that happened to me, I would blame it on my cats, but you don't have cats, so right? No cats?
No cats. Got two dogs, and they're lazy. They're sleeping all day. So,
well, I wish mine was.
Oh yeah, dude, that's great. Because unless the garbage man comes by or somebody riding a bike past the house, then they'll go nuts. They'll bark at squirrels. Bark at nothing, and I'm like, what are you barking at?
Nothing there. She has the same thing with cats, with squirrels.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. They do that. Like,
I heard y'all talk about one of my other favorite places is Old South Pittsburgh. I'm glad that it got taken over, because I know the last time I was there, it was pretty nasty in there.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it's gorgeous now.
Oh, yeah. Right on. And I've had some great experiences in the Old South, man. Up on the third floor, we had another group that was coming up there. And I was like, okay, guys, I'll be back later. I got another group of people that want to come meet you. And I swear to God, I hear this voice audibly say, well, bye, Felicia. And I'm like, are you serious? I died laughing. Then we go down the first floor where the old records room was. And we're doing a ghost box session. And you hear this girl go, I have Facebook. And I just want to go, what's your status, dead?
Wow.
I have Facebook. I said, send me a friend request. You got Facebook? I'll friend you right away.
For real.
That would be hilarious.
Oh. Yeah, spirits have had me cracking up for years.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. One of my favorites here in Alabama, there's an old sane asylum called Bryce's. And right next door to it was an old convalescent home. The state decided they was going to rebuild it and make senior apartments out of it. Well, we had walked probably about a quarter of a mile between the two buildings, and there was a big pile of wood sitting on the sidewalk. And we had been over in Bryce's for over 8 hours. So I'm like, I need to sit down for a minute. So as soon as I'm about to sit down, thank God I have my recorder going, I hear this old man Aubrey going, it ain't going to hold you, dumbass. And then you hear a sit, the whole board goes down, and then you hear the old man just cackling. I told you, dumbass.
Wow.
I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah, we had a similar thing happen at an old church here in North Georgia. And both the teams that had investigated in the same area, they got like similar, like creepy kind of activity. And at the end of the investigation, well, I say the end, at the end of the two team sweeps, we got everybody together and we're walking back down there because that was the busiest place.
Sure.
And the two teams were talking about what had happened in that area. After all of this, we're reviewing our audio. And as one of the teams was getting to that area, there was an unbelievably audible EVP that said, turn around, go back.
Nice.
And of course, they did, because we don't hear that stuff, you know, in real time. Yeah. And then when the two teams are talking about the experiences heading back down there, as they're talking about what happens, you hear the same voice going, I warned you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I love it when it's that interactive.
Oh, yeah. I get that a lot. Especially I don't know if you guys have been to Pauley Jail down in Union Springs yet.
Not yet.
You need to go. That place is so active, and they have some comedians in there, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
They'll cuss at you a lot.
Amy knows about getting cussed at in a jail.
Oh dude, time I do a ghost box session, it's like they know my name, and then they'll start cussing at me. And the funny thing is, I don't even have to be at a location, and they'll start asking for me in different locations that I'm not even at. I always just thought that was funny. I said, damn, I didn't know I was that popular in the spirit world, but I guess so.
Yeah, really.
But yeah, I get my name called quite a lot. It's like we always take bets. Yeah. How many times is it going to say your name tonight, Blaine? And it's funny. If I actually walk out of a room, they'll start asking, where'd Blaine go? Where's Blaine? And people didn't believe me, so I walked out of the USS Salem. Walked out of the room we were in, walked probably about halfway down the hall, and about five heads stuck their head out the door. Again, they keep asking for you. I said, I know, that's why I'm doing it. You guys to know that they do this when I leave.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, when we met, this is, I don't know, kind of a backup, because there was something I wanted to ask you when we met at the Paracon.
Sure.
That Stan did. I wanted to come over, and you were telling people they're spirit animals.
Yes, sir.
And I thought that was really interesting, and I kept meaning to get over there, and I just never got the... Is that the kind of thing that you can do, like, through this?
Oh, yes. I can see your spirit guides. I can see your spirit animals. I can see if you've had past lives. I've been blessed to be so gifted at what the gifts I was given.
Right.
And I can tell you right now, one of your main spirit animals is an eagle.
An eagle?
An eagle, yes. Very protective of you. It's always on your right side. Whenever you do go anywhere, it always hangs by your right side, or it'll fly right behind you on your right side. And the other one you have, this was sort of funny. I don't make them up. They just tell me who they are. Your other one's a mule.
A mule. Shut up, baby.
I just think it's funny. Some of the animals they'll give me, and it's like, yeah, that sort of, that fits that person to a T. And I did one on a lady doing a house investigation. And I told her her spirit animal was a cougar. And her son was like, what are you trying to do? Hit on my mom? I said, no, her spirit animal is a cougar.
I'm not calling her a cougar. She is.
So what's a mule mean? I'm stubborn, I guess.
All I can tell you is they just show me what you guys have. And like, if you ask me who your spirit guides are, as soon as I tell you, I couldn't tell you who they are again, because they're not meant for me. They're meant for you.
Right.
But you both have some good spirit guides around you, though.
That's good to hear. I need them.
What are my spirit animals?
Okay. All right, Amy, one of yours is a dove. Let me see. What's the other one showing me? The other one you have is a lynx. Like a cat, linked.
Huh. I'm gonna have to say that I did ask you at the Paracon, and you said the same thing about the links. I don't remember about the dove. I just remember because I'm a cat person.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
That's probably why you have a lynx.
I got super excited, and I was like, I have a cat.
Yeah. And both of mine are, I have a bear and a wolf.
I have a donkey, thanks.
Hey, at least I didn't call it a jackass.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it could be worse.
I've earned that, I guess.
No, it's a good sign, though, because, you know, stubborn as a mule.
Mm-hmm.
That's good in your conviction of what you're doing in this field. So that's a great thing.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Yeah.
See? Now, I got to ask, like, what is the coolest place you guys investigated?
Oh, wow. Well, we're supposed to ask you that.
Well, we will. I can tell you
several places.
For me, other than my other than Old South Pittsburgh, because I absolutely love that place.
Me too.
I would have to say either Waverly or the USS North Carolina.
I've done both. Waverly, I'll give you a funny story about. On the third floor, we got up there and just opened the door and went into the first available door on the third floor. And we were sitting around doing a ghost box session, and this lady was with her husband, and she farted so loud that spirits were even like going, oh, you nasty bitch. I'm sitting there trying not to laugh. She turned about 8 shades of red, told her husband to grab her purse, and they were gone. I didn't see them the rest of the night. And the spirits up there talked about her all night.
Yeah, that's all. Awesome.
You still here?
I mean, just claim it. Just be like, yep, sorry.
That was me.
Dude, it was like, dude, my bad. Sorry.
Just claim it. Don't
smell that demon.
No, yeah. That was me. Because someone on my team decided it was a good idea for Taco Bell before the investigation.
Hey.
I'm just, you know, pointing out some
It seemed facts. Like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. It's like eating 3 chili cheese dogs before you go on an investigation. Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yep.
Like, Don't eat the crystals. Don't eat the Taco Bell.
But yeah, Kevin, no crystals. You know, no crystals. Definitely not.
Yeah.
And you just smell the crystals in your goo.
Oh my God, the gut bombs.
It's real.
Oh, I know. They were fun when you were a teenager. And now it's like, I can't even stand the smell of them. But
no.
But yeah, my favorite places I've got to investigate, I love Gettysburg. I've probably done it 19 times. Floss Furnaces, which you can't do investigations no
I'd
more.
I'd love to do Floss Furnace.
I've done it 64 times, and you get activity in Floss every time you go. And yes, they are very male-dominated there. So they like making smart-ass remarks toward women. My wife was with me one time, and she walked away from me to go look at something, and I heard this spirit just plain as day going, "What's wrong, Blaine? Is your wife leaving you again?" I'm like, "No, she never left me the first time."
Wow.
I just think they crack me up. Especially when I'm doing a ghost box. And I tell you, though, lately, I don't know why I've been getting them, but on ghost boxes, I've been getting a lot of damn pedophile spirits.
Ew.
Ew.
I know. I got one at Pauley Jail, and I'm sitting there arguing with this thing. And I'm like, you know, you have control over nothing. You are nothing. You're useless, and you're not even a man. And he was dog cussing me, and I had enough of his cussing. I said, you got one more word and I'm sending my bear after you. And I heard the big F you. I'm like, all right, bear now. And no lie, I got video. I'll send you a video of it. You hear my bear growl on the ghost box. Then you hear this dude not say another word. I said, you met my bear. You want to meet my wolf? Not a word. Not a word. Not a single word. I didn't hear him. I haven't heard him the rest of the time we've been in, and I've probably been there about 7 times now.
Hmm.
But yeah, I always seem to get those. I got one at Sloth that had held 5 children down in the boiler room of Sloth's, and he got caught by fellow workers. So, and you know, they made pig iron there. They beat him to death with wrought iron, pig iron rod, and just beat the bricks off of him until he was dead.
Wow.
Good God.
Oh, yeah, dude. And, dude, when I finally got him to leave, all I could hear is his cussing says, "I'm blaming this all on you." I said, "Good, because you're gone, dude. I'll never see your stupid ass again. So, adios, muchacho."
Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
Oh, I've seen some crazy shit. I'll tell you one of my favorites my wife got to see with me. All right, we were at Nathan Bedford Forrest's house. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He was a Civil War general when he started the Klan up in Tennessee, but he moved to Alabama. We were in his backyard, and he had a farm back there, probably about 80 acres. And there was a tree line at the end of his backyard and field on the other side of it. Well, we heard something rustling coming through the wooded area, and I thought maybe it was like a rabbit or a deer. Out stepped this full-bodied Confederate cavalry soldier. You can see his boots. You can see his scabbard hitting the side of his leg as he walked. You can see his pistol moving. Everything except for his head. And I thought that was just the coolest thing. My wife was like, what was that? and my buddy Nathan the Van, God rest his soul.
My Nathan.
Oh, you know Nathan, right on.
Nathan was my co-host for a while.
Right on. Well, yeah, Nathan was up there with me, and Nathan got tongue-tied. He was like, I. And all I could say was, holy shit, did y'all just see that? That was my favorite full-bodied apparition that I'd ever saw, because it was so lifelike.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, it was nuts. And my wife saw it, and she's like, I still can't believe I saw that. I said, at least it wasn't just me that saw it this time.
I had You don't you hate when you're the only one to see something?
Well, it happens to me, dude, since I've been seeing spirits since I was 4. I'm 57 now, so every day of my life I see them. I can't walk in public without seeing more people there than are there. Mm-hmm. Hospital, same thing. Matter of fact, Veterans Day last year, I had broken my ankle, and I had to spend a whole week in the VA hospital. Well, every night I got visited by different soldiers, different Marines, different Navy guys. I actually saw a doctor that came in my room about 3:30 in the morning. I thought that was odd because, you know, most doctors don't work that late at night.
Right.
And he come in there, he checked my vitals, he did everything. We had a conversation. And he said his goodbyes and left. And the nurse came in there about 30 minutes later. I said, I didn't know doctors worked this late. And she goes, what doctor are you talking about? I said, Dr. Johnson, that was just in here. Her face turned like blood white. I mean, she's just white. And she said, Blaine, Dr. Johnson died last February of COVID. I'm like, no, really? Cool. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I've seen so much stuff. It's not even funny. You'll get a kick out of this story. Okay. I'm not a big fan of clowns or dolls.
Nope. Me either.
I'll tell you what. Dolls were originally made to house the souls of the dead.
No,
clowns started out evil. If you go back and do research in the Middle Ages, they had this group called the Highwaymen. They would paint their faces up real smiley, and they rape, rob, and pillage people on the highway. Well, they've always been evil. Then you throw in John Wayne Gacy. So that's just another instance of clowns being bad.
Yeah.
Well, this lady, we did a private investigation. I opened the first door. And this lady had 75 clown dolls sitting along the floor against the wall.
I'm sorry, did you say 75?
75.
That's too many. That is like okay, 75. Wait,
that's 75 too many.
Okay, 75. This is the worst part.
Yep.
Dead in the middle, I watched one of the little bastards lift itself up and fling itself at the door at me.
Oh, no. Hell not. The
only thing I could do is I reared back and I hit that sumbitch as hard as I could and knocked it back against the wall. I shut the door. I said, I'll take care of every damn last one of you when I'm done with this house. And that was the last room I did clean. Dude, if I had me a Louisville slugger, there would have been 75 broke-ass damn clown
dolls. Sorry about your dolls, ma'am.
Yeah.
They're gone. So I hope you didn't want to keep them.
I was like, why in the hell would you want 75 damn clown dolls?
Well, let's ask Stan. Stan, if you're listening, why don't you pipe in? Because I know you have a clown thing.
Oh, I know Stan's clown.
Mm-hmm. Stan's clown would not stop looking at me at the Paracon.
Oh, it kept eyeballing me the whole time, and I just kept looking at it like, yeah.
I was like, come at me, bro.
I was like, and if you move, I already told Stan, I said, Stan, that damn thing moves toward me. I swear to God, that son of a bitch would be against the back wall. He said, please don't throw my clown. I said, don't let your clown come near me then.
Yeah, for real. Control your clown.
Control your clown, or I will control your clown. You know?
Well, you know, okay, so you were right across from us at the Paracon.
Yes.
And then right behind us was this interesting gentleman who owned a store. Now I can't remember the name of the store. But he had this doll, this horrifying, like, baby doll.
Oh, good Lord.
And once, you must have seen it, because I'm telling... Once he figured out that I was uncomfortable with said doll.
Well, you and Jeff, because he was messing with Jeff a lot too.
Okay, so it was me and Jeff, like, pick the Geminis. Like, what the fuck? Apparently, that's a thing. And he kept moving it around. Sometimes it was in the bed, the baby bed, the little doll bed. And sometimes it was like in a chair. And sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind with this doll behind me. Like, I was, at one point I was like eating, but I was like, didn't want to turn my back to it. I'm like trying to eat my food, but I didn't want to turn my back to that thing.
Yeah, and he go ahead.
He would just smile. He would just smirk. I would turn around and he was like, what's wrong? Where's the doll? And I'm like, you know where the doll is.
He wouldn't move it like blatantly, like all the time. It wasn't like necessarily changing from one area to another. Sometimes he would just turn its head so it's looking at somebody different.
Yeah.
You'd be sitting there and it's like it's looking at Amy, and then I'd look away, and then the next time I look back, it's looking at Jeff.
Well, I had a conversation with said doll. I said, keep your papers off of me. Don't look at me. Don't even acknowledge me. And as if you do, you will not like the consequences. So it avoided me the whole time.
Well, that's because it was preoccupied with me and Jeff. So
because it had your attention. Mine, I was like, no, you're getting, this is the only little effort you're getting out of me, and I'm done with you. That's it.
Yeah, that thing was creepy.
It was creepy. And I feel a little bit of like not alone when, you know, the 6'5" biker is also scared of said doll. That's like roaming around behind me. I'm like, okay, I don't feel so alone.
You know, this is bad. You know, everybody this time of year does an Elf on the Shelf.
No, fuck that.
Let's get Chucky in a chair and just move him around all night.
Exactly.
Chucky in a chair.
I've seen that. I've seen Snoop on a stoop.
I've seen that one too. That one was funny.
I might say to Snoop on a stoop.
The other one I liked too was a critter on the shitter.
Which all of those choices are so much better than an elf on a shelf, because
elves are creepy little things too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Scarecrows, elves, nope. And I have a real thing like with and I'm gonna have to say I've only seen one in person in an antique store one time, but an Amish doll.
Oh, the faceless?
Yeah,
those, and they do that because it's supposed to be against vanity. It looks creepy as hell because my in-laws live up in Illinois, so we go through Amish country, go to the little stores, and they'll have them lined up in little bitty chairs with no faces on them. I want to get a marker so bad and just put a smiley face on them.
Something to them, make them
give it some buck teeth or something. But damn.
Like, here comes this faceless doll at you. Nope. I mean, I'm gonna.
That's a horror movie waiting to be made.
Absolutely,
a faceless doll coming after somebody.
Yeah, no, that's a whole lot of nope for me. Nope.
Yeah. Nope. That'd be one of. Hey, look, let's go watch a movie about faceless dolls.
Yeah. Nope. Nope.
There's a double hell to the no.
Yeah. I have a friend from high school, and his grandmother collected those porcelain dolls, you know, and you have, and they're like numbered and they're like fancy and whatever, you know, and you get like little Bobby Joe who's, you know, galloping through the freaking woods with her basket and whatever, you know, they're all like posed and now and they were everywhere, and it's like like everywhere you slept they were there and they were watching, and some were posed like on and I'm not being hateful, I just don't like dolls. I love this family, you know, I love them, but nope.
Well, the reason I don't like dolls or clowns is because I could see them for what they actually are. And they always, it always seems to be there's like one girl doll that's got a child molester stuck inside of it. We had to get one at one of my buddy Kevin's because he collects these creepy dolls. I'm like, dude, you're crazy as hell to have them damn dolls in your house. But yeah, he'll get EVPs and stuff off of them. I'm like, no, they wouldn't be talking to me. I ain't scared of nothing, but I don't like dolls. And I've been told the damn thing, look, you just shut your damn mouth. Don't look at me. Don't do nothing to me. And we'll be all right. Because I do got a thing called a lighter, and I will light you on fire. Don't care.
Yep.
Burn, baby, burn.
Burn, baby, burn.
So what is, I don't know, the funniest?
Because they won't let you investigate at night unless you're at the campground. Well, we're walking up toward an Indian burial mound. I hear this noise out of the woods, and I actually saw a live armadillo come out. I'd never seen one alive before. I thought they was always just dead.
Yeah, dead on the side of the road.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time I've ever seen a live one. It didn't scare me. It sort of startled me. I was like, what? It's actually alive?
They're adorable.
Yeah, and they're great animals because they eat a lot of bugs.
Yep.
I didn't know that. I'd never seen a live one before till then. And I've had all kind of stuff thrown at me and pushed downstairs and tripped and had my hair pulled and all that fun stuff. I got punched in the face in Gettysburg by a Yankee soldier. That was pretty fun.
Ouch.
Oh, it hurt. It actually brought tears to my eyes and blood to my nose. That's how hard he hit me.
Really?
Dude, I'm like, what the hell, dude? I said, how you doing? He said, I hear him saying, because you're a rebel. I'm like, I served in the United States military, you idiot.
Yeah, really.
I went around during the Civil War that I know of. Hell, I don't know about anybody in my whole family that fought in the Civil War. They all migrated from France and Scotland and Ireland.
Yep. Yeah, we got hit. One of the guys on our investigation at the USS North Carolina got hit in the chest. And I have that on video because it's absolutely hilarious. But it was one, like, in the military, if you jump out in front of somebody and hit them, like, in the just below the collarbone where the shoulder kind of meets. Huh?
Who got, is it someone I know that got hit?
Yeah, Tim.
Sorry.
And there's that little recess right under your collarbone, right beside your shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like typical, if you jump out and you pop somebody in the shoulder, you usually hit them with both hands or with both your hands in those little recesses.
Yes.
At the same time, you stomp on the floor. Yeah. So it's like a boom. And then he was taking a step over one of the thresholds because, you know, the doors are in between rooms or at the end of the hallway. They have like the porthole doors that you have to step through.
And he is also a veteran. Right?
Huh?
I'm sorry. He's also a veteran.
Yes, he is also a veteran.
Wow.
And as soon as he got through that door, kabam! And it was absolutely the most hilarious thing ever. Because, A, it startled him. It didn't, I mean, I say it's scary, but it's just scary because it startled.
Sure.
And, because he was like, oh, shit. Oh shit, I just got hit. Oh my God. And of course we're all standing around just dying laughing. But he described it as like in the military when you scare somebody.
Yep.
And it was truly that military on military.
Oh yeah.
And but that was absolutely just the funniest thing ever.
And it scared him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, well, I mean, most of the stuff that you encounter are scary only because you can't see it coming.
And, yeah, and the sad part, I can see it coming, but it happens so fast, you can't react to it.
No.
I got, let's see, where were we at? Fort Delaware. And I got Ric Flair chopped across my chest, and it left a handprint all the way across my chest. I was like, damn, son, that sort of hurt.
Yep.
Yeah, you can actually hear it when it hit you, too. We got it on audio. You can hear it. It was just like, you know, hand across chest, slap.
Oh, wow, you can hear it?
Oh, you can hear it, and you can feel it. And it did. It left a finger. It left a handprint across all of from my left side of my chest to my right side of my chest.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
I just considered another a battle scar that I survived.
Yeah. So far, all my touches have been like enough that you can feel it. You can feel it kind of press in, but it's more like if somebody was coming past you.
Yeah.
And just, you know how we may move past each other in the dark?
Sure.
And so you may like tap on their arm or their side just enough to say, hey, bud, I'm coming past you. And that's how most of mine have been, is just that, you know, you're like, oh, okay. And you step back and to the side, and then nobody comes past you.
Yeah.
then you start looking around and you're like, oh, crap. Okay.
I'll tell you the weirdest though is when they walk right through you. Because it goes from being normal temperature to like ice cold for about a second and a half. And then you can feel it go out the back side or the front side of you.
Yeah. And
it feels like a cold, electrified spider web.
That's a good kind of explanation of that. Like what you just said, like
electrified spider web.
Yeah. Like to me, it's like you feel it. Like when it first hits you, like you walked spider web, and then it's like cold, and you kind of like you kind of go for a second. You know what you feel me? Am I making
this? No, you're making perfect sense.
Perfect sense, yes.
Kind of like that, and then it's gone, and you're not as cold as you were, but you still feel it. You still feel it. See, I don't see, I feel that's my,
because you're blocking yourself from seeing. You could see if you really wanted to, just don't think about it. Let it happen.
I want to see.
Yeah. Just let it. What I tell like everybody I train is let it flow. Don't think about it, because the more you think about it, your mind's going to tell you, no, 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 no. If you don't think about it, it happens a lot. And then there's sometimes I even ask spirits to walk through me, especially if you're in a location where it's like 800 degrees.
Oh, so yeah.
Can you please walk through me once just to cool me off for a little bit, please?
Actually, we should take note of that, because when we are doing our volunteer work at on South Pittsburgh.
Yeah, really.
I'm 1,000.
Walk through me just for a second, please.
Please come on through.
I know it's like, please, 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 please. Just walk through me one time, just one time. Or just drop the temperature 10 degrees. I'll be happy.
That's winter, in the winter. That's not helpful in the winter, though. So in the winter, you're just cold, extra cold. And then, like, I'm good. Because like we did, our team did Old South Pittsburgh in February.
It was cold.
God, it was cold. And so, you know, asking spirits, like, okay, I'm going to just ask you to maybe just stand next to me. Don't get too close, please, because it's a little chilly.
Now, on the third floor, do they still have the nurses going in and out of the doors?
Yes, I think there is some activity comparable to that. Yeah,
yeah. I would, especially around that pediatrics where the babies are.
Yeah,
I'd see them and I'd hear their full conversation. And there's a doctor up on the third floor that he was so pissed off because everybody that came up there before us taunted them and provoked them.
Yeah, that's bad.
That
pisses people off. It would piss me off.
Oh, yeah. Like, if that happens to me when I'm gone and people start, oh, be prepared.
I tell people, like, okay, well, how would you like if I come in your house and I just started dog cussing you in your own house?
You're
gonna do one of two things. You're gonna kick the shit out of me, or you're gonna shoot me. One of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why people.
Yeah, now
it's because of all the stupid TV shows. All they do is see them provoke.
Yep.
You don't have
and to one of the cool things about it now is if they see provoking in the hospital, yeah, they will end it.
You're out.
And I don't blame them because, you know.
Spirit, no, that's like a family there.
Oh, I know. And I know a lot of those spirits in that building, and they became family to me because every time I come back up there, after I explained to the doctor, said, look, sir, we're not here to harm you, disrespect you in any way. I said, all I want to do is learn from you and communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee you, everybody that's with me, one person tries to provoke, I will put my size 14 shoe so far up their ass that they're going to take both of us to the hospital.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's something I do not believe in at all, 100%.
You go in there and just, what I always do is we go in there and we joke around, we cut up with each other, and the spirits get interested in it. It's like, oh, these are fun people. Let's talk to them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I 100% am behind that. I think that sometimes you get a lot more if you're just having a regular conversation. And it can mm-hmm. be something ridiculous because typically, not typically, a lot of times I might be talking about something ridiculous, something that happened to me. And
no, I think typically works.
That's why in Ghostbox sessions, I don't like asking the regular questions. What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. I ask cool stuff. It's like, is there liquor there? Is there beer there? Is there music there?
Snacks? I want to know about the snacks.
Snacks. I know. Mm-hmm. Is the food good? Do you get to play a perfect golf game every time you play golf? I'll ask these oddball questions, and it gets them interested.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time we were doing an EVP session, and Dodge had just started talking about bringing back the Charger and the Challenger. And I hear we're talking about it, and when they first started talking about bringing them back, and this young kid spirit, probably about 18, 19 years old, he goes, no shit, they're bringing the Charger back?
Yup.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the only time that I will scold a spirit, if it's an evil spirit, it has to go. But I still talk to it with a calm voice. I just tell him what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. Yeah, I don't know if y'all remember the nice little suit that was at the Paracon in that one room.
Mm-hmm.
When I had to do the binding on him, I told him, I said, look, before this day's over, I said, you will beg, not once, but twice. I said, you will cry, because he went after my friend Matt's stepfather, who's in critical condition at the hospital. And then he tried to threaten me to come to get my wife. I'm like, dude, good luck getting past my protection on the damn house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I straight up told him, I said, look, I give you two choices. So I've already got you surrounded by my bear, my wolf, and my spirit guide, Janawa. Plus, there are 10,000 Native American troops around you. You really think you can win this battle? Do you really? And he said something smart, like, I'll take them all on. I said, dude, I want to see this. And he tried to take one step, and all I heard was just this biggest ruckus of Native American spirits, my bear growling and my wolf growling. And Janawha cussing him out in Cherokee. It was so funny to listen to. Then he sort of shut his pie hole.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah,
he did. He did end up begging twice, and he cried. And I told him he was going to do it. But that was about as mean as I got with it.
You're talking about the spirit at the library?
Yes. Yes, that one. Mm. Yeah, he is so bound to that box right now. I know Stan said they unsealed the door. I said they can't unseal the box because I've got that thing binded so hard that you couldn't take a pair of vice grips and get it open. You couldn't take a jackhammer and get it open because I bound the hell out of that damn thing. And it was, I don't know why I love doing battle with spirits like that, especially the malevolent ones. I actually enjoy it. It's like, oh, good, I get to do battle. Because it's actually fun for me. I don't know, it's not supposed to be fun, but I don't know. I have a blast with it because I know I've got total control and I don't play fair. So I know I've got the advantage. So, you know, I embrace it because it's more fun that way for me. Now, I love helping spirits that need helping, though. We were at a fort in Texas, and they had some old Buffalo soldiers. And those were black soldiers that were former slaves that the U.S. military took in. And I actually got to cross one of those Buffalo soldiers. And the last words he said before he crossed was, I heard his two children say, thank you, Mr. Blaine. And his wife goes, thank you, Mr. Blaine. And he turned, right before he walked through the light to his family, he turned around and said, I don't know how I could ever repay you for this. I said, go home and be with your family. That's how you repay me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. To kind of, I don't know, pull this back just a hair. As far as like any of our listeners that are listening, that are listening. I guess if there are listeners, they are listening. So, I don't know. Let me hit you with a question.
Sure.
Do you think, because you're doing something on a completely different level. So when, if I were to go somewhere that Hitler, as horrific as that individual was,
yeah,
and I'm investigating, I would come in at a different level than where you're talking about as an investigator.
Sure.
I would come in and because to Hitler, he may or may not have felt like he was doing anything wrong.
In his mind, he didn't.
Right. A Klansman, in his mind, may not feel that he's doing anything wrong. So I'm going to come in as an investigator at that level and say, you know, what made you proud? What this, what that, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Instead of stigmatizing the nature of the beast or the thing.
Well, I'm going to be like you. I'm going to ask him the same questions. Is why did you do what you did? What reasoning behind it did you have? Did you have that hate for people?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because what you're referring to is, for our listeners, this is a completely different level than probably 99.9% of our listeners will ever get to.
Yeah.
And so what we're talking about, or what Blaine's talking about, is something that, A, don't attempt.
No, please don't. Don't.
And B, there are ways that you can go about doing a good investigation that's respectful.
Sure.
And at that level, you need to maintain that respect.
Yeah.
What he's talking about is something above and beyond what most of us will ever do.
Yeah.
So if you're investigating the site of a murder, don't go in there guns blaring.
Oh, Lord.
And say, you're a piece of shit and this and that. I can't believe you did this, that, and whatever. Go in there and say, dude, what was going on?
What happened?
Well, why are you?
And I know Hitler was way into the occult. because of Hermann Goebel.
Yeah.
They tried to find every artifact that they could find, and they did loot quite a lot of artifacts from different places they rolled
through. Quite a lot? That's an understatement.
I mean, they would even take the fillings out of the Jewish people's mouths at the concentration camps. And the funniest thing, that he hated Jews so much, his mother was quarter Jewish. So how do you hate your own people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that I would want to know. And to try to, until it gets to the point where what we're talking about, which is an isolated incident.
Yes.
Try to do what you can to, I don't want to say make a connection, because that's by far what I mean, but try to make that dialogue between two individuals that are living or have lived.
And I'd love to have that conversation with him.
Oh yeah, I would too. It's like
an honorable conversation. I'll treat him with respect, even though I think he's a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
And I'll give him the respect.
Yeah, dude, I'm not going to try to do anything to you. I just want to know
what your mindset was.
Yeah, like I would love to sit down with Manson. Now, I know he's still alive, so that's not the same thing.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know, Manson, to me, kind of unrelated, but he's so intelligent that, like, I would hate to be his cellmate. Because after, like, a day or two, he's going to make sense.
I can tell you this. I have the whole 12,000-page transcript of the Manson trial. And Manson, the whole reason Manson was so pissed off is because of Terry Melcher. Doris Day's son was a record producer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the Beach Boys.
Went out there and heard, and he was Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys. He used to bring them their drugs and girls. And he came out there and recorded Charlie doing three songs. And he told Charlie, he said, okay, the song's great, but it's not what we're looking for. It's not marketable.
And then released one of them.
And then he released one of them. Exactly. Brian Wilson rewrote it and put it on an album and changed, I think, every word in there except for like three.
That's rude.
Well, and Manson sort of got pissed off about that. And how he knew about the Sharon Tate house is because that's where Terry Melcher lived.
Yeah, years before.
He'd been inside and outside that house. Now, the LaFiancas was just a pick of the draw. It was just, okay, this looks like a rich neighborhood. Let's go get this one. Mm-hmm. But
that's where the race stuff starts in.
Yeah, he knew where every room was, what was in that house. And Charlie actually showed up when Sharon was taking a photo session when she was 8 months pregnant by the pool. And Charlie just happened to come up there and he said something about, well, where's Terry? And he goes, Terry doesn't live here. This is the Tate residence or lobby. This is Sharon Tate's residence. And he's like, okay, I don't know who she is. And then he left. Well, 6 days later, he came back to the house with Tex Watson and three of his girls. And Charlie actually went, they didn't tell you a lot of this stuff, but Charlie actually went inside the house before everything happened and gathered them all in the living room. And then he left, took the car back, told the murderers just to go ahead and hitchhike back to the ranch. The Spawn Ranch. But
wow.
And this is another story. My first investigation ever, I was stationed at Norton Air Force Base and we were in our day room watching Helter Skelter. And I told my buddies, I said, you know, we're only about 60 miles from where this happened at. And you know, we're young airmen, we didn't have nothing to do. So it was like, hey, let's load up the car. We had a Polaroid camera, a cassette recorder, and, or as we lovely call them, the Lackland laser flashlights that they gave you in basic training.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out there, and I knew if I stood on the street, I'm okay because I'm still on public property. Well, we had a LA County sheriff come up there and ask us what we're doing. And this is the time you didn't even have a name for ghost hunting. I said, we're just trying to see if we can catch any ghosts. He goes, I get off in 10 minutes. Do you mind if I come back? I'm like, hell yeah, you come back. I mean, I don't get trouble.
Come on.
The more the merrier.
Yeah. 10 minutes later, he showed up. We started just asking questions on the cassette recorder. And the first one I asked, I said, who is here with us? And I heard the name Jay. And I said, are you Jay Sebring? And he said, yes. And I said, what did you do for a living? He said, I cut hair. He was the stylist to the stars. The next one we got to come through was Abigail Folger. And I said, Abby, what is your family famous for? She said, coffee. And then the weirdest and the most one we got was Sharon Tate. And Sharon said, they killed me. I begged for my baby's life. And they told me, shut up, bitch, you're going to die. And that was the first three EVPs I ever caught.
Get out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that one still gives me chills because I can't imagine the fear she's going through watching.
I can't either. I can't either.
And the poor kid, Stephen Champion, was just there at his buddies listening to records. And he was fixing to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And Tex Watson just opens up the door and shoots him three times in the head. I'm like, what in the world? And as you think that people would have been startled, but not realizing that Charlie had already tied everybody up in the living room. So they were all in one room. So they didn't have to go looking for nobody. In the movie, they made it look like they had to go get them out of their bedrooms. No, they were all in the living room. All in their nightgowns or sleep pajamas, nightgowns, whatever they were sleeping in. And yeah.
That would be me.
And if you read through some of the trial stuff that Manson always tried to claim, well, I never killed nobody. I said, yeah, you did, Charlie. You killed Gary Hinman. You killed a stuntman that was on the ranch. You killed several other people, too, that didn't get publicized because they were not well-known people. But he committed a lot of murders with his family. And some of his own people he even murdered. So, yeah, Charlie was far from innocent.
Yeah, far, far, far.
Well, this is the funny thing about Manson. Okay, his mom was a 16-year-old prostitute. Mm-hmm. She sold him for a six-pack of beer. He went to live with his grandmother. She sold him for a pitcher of beer. And sent him to a store to go steal stuff, then called the police on him to say he was stealing, but she didn't have to feed him no more. So the juvenile system took him over. I was like, good God, what kind of family?
Yeah, really?
Glad to know I'm worth, you know, a six-pack of beer and a pitcher of beer. Jeez.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that kind of baggage for a kid?
Yeah.
I mean, not to make anything that happened okay.
No.
But that kind of baggage, that's going to fuck up somebody.
Yeah, oh, big time. Absolutely.
And Charlie learned so well in the prison system how to manipulate people.
Because he'd been in it since he was a baby. He sent him to the... So that's all you know.
Well, when he got out of jail, he said, I've spent over three-quarters of my life behind bars. When they paroled him, he even told them before he paroled them, you might not want to parole me. And they paroled him anyway. So that's on the parole board. They should have never let his ass out. And who would think a bunch of, you know, dope smoking hippies would be, you know, ravenous murderers? You know, I thought they were all about peace and love and flowers.
Yeah.
No, they just got there and just brutalized.
Stabby. Yeah. you know.
Yeah, no doubt. Stabby,
little mushrooms, and you get a little stabby. Hmm?
Yeah, well, I know Charlie would hit them all up with LSD, and either Charlie would take a lower dose or he wouldn't take none at all. So he had them controlled by drugs and sex and pretty much music, because he played music constantly. Because he always thought he was going to be the next Elvis. That's what he said in one of his statements. I was going to be the next Elvis. I've heard your song, Charlie, they suck. Sorry. And it's like whoever told you could sing, they lied. Because your voice is horrible, your harmony is off, your tone is off. And it's like, what did you just find some idiot off the, some bum off the street and have him start singing?
Maybe.
Maybe he's all liquored up. I'll sing for you.
Sing for you. Yeah.
But Manson, I've actually had conversations on ghost box sessions with Charlie Manson. And Charlie still, even in death, will still say, I did nothing wrong. Or my favorite line he always used to say when he go to parole hearings, he said, if I wanted you all dead, you'd all be dead. I've got him to say that before on the audio, on a EVP before. If I wanted you dead, you'd all be dead.
I'm going to have to throw in just a little bit of tidbit for just a second. Because I do watch, and I am very interested in serial killers and how their minds work and what puts them to that point. And so just because I just had to Google because I wanted to know what Charles Manson's sign was, and Scorpio. Scorpio. But then it comes up as this Gemini, Pisces, and Virgo are the most common star signs for serial killers.
Yeah, that is true.
So, which is interesting, because I think I want to say that because we're in a full moon in Gemini. I want to say, is it Dahmer that was Gemini?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so it's like this thing says of the 28 people on the list, 10 are Virgo, 8 are Gemini, 6 are Pisces, and 4 are Sagittarius. None are Scorpio except Charles Manson.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay, yeah. Gemini, Jeffrey Dahmer, Mary Bell, Kenneth Bianchi. Pisces?
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yep. The uncaught serial killer.
Yeah, well, you have John Wayne Gacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rick Ramirez.
The Night Stalker.
And Donald Henry Gaskins. Ed Gein.
Ed Gein, yes.
Terry Blair, Dean Carter. Now,
all the streamers.
The Sagittarius, we have Ted Bundy.
Bundy.
And Timothy Krajker. Some of these I haven't heard of, so I'm very interested. I'm going to have
to research now.
Look these people up, yeah. I did. Some of the big name ones were.
Yeah, there's a couple you might want to look up. Oldest Tool and Henry Lee Lucas. They committed supposedly committed a lot of murders in the murder fields down there in Louisiana and Texas.
Really?
That's the show that's on Netflix now, right? Killer.
Yes. Good show, actually.
Yes, it is. The Killing Fields. That's what it's called. Sorry.
Yeah, The Killing Fields.
Yeah.
Yeah, they Yeah, Henry Lee Lucas and God, what's his damn name now? I just forgot it. Just had a mind blank there. Otis O'Toole. He was the one that killed John Walsh's son.
Yeah.
America's Most Wanted. Yeah.
Remember when that happened? Like, I lived in Florida when that happened.
Wow.
So that was something.
Yeah, I have a fascination with serial killers. I'm like you. I want to know what makes them tick, why they do what they do. But I'm also fascinated in the mafia and pirates. But
yes, mafia, yeah, pirates, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Because we do like a good megapint. And the way my mouth is, I was probably a pirate.
Oh, you, guaranteed.
I was definitely.
Cyril Fillers, Ed Gein, Bundy, Gacy. And I asked different questions of myself, like, well, how would they answer these questions? I ended up getting an A on the paper because it was like me having a conversation with them, but it was me doing the conversation, but I made it sound like it was them, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you should look at some of them, like Ed Gein. I mean, geez, you could say the Texas Chainsaw Massacre came from that. Psycho came from that.
Mm-hmm.
Several other horror movies have come off of that. And when they actually went in his house, he had lamps that were made out of human skin. He had gloves that were made out of human skin.
Silence of the Lamb.
Silence of the Lamb was another one. You're right.
Yeah, no, that one stuck with me for a while.
Yeah. And then he digs his own mother up.
Yeah.
And then he never spent one day in jail. They put him in a psychiatric hospital and they let him go. And he died a couple of years after they let him out, and they buried him right next to his mother that he had dug up. That dude would have went in an incinerator and just got burned to crispy critter.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I have conflicted things about the death penalty, and like I think actually with my son we had a conversation about the death penalty, and I'm like, no, why do we got to keep feeding him? Nope, no, you did this shit, it's time for you to go, bye bitch, move along. Nope.
I say it's okay. As soon as you're convicted, they level the death sentence, give your one appeal 1 week later.
Yeah.
And take you out back and just put a 35-cent bullet in your head and be done with it.
If what you've done is enough that with beyond a reasonable doubt that you did this and
oh yeah.
Especially if you admit to it. You're like, yep, I did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I can understand it in cases where there's people on death row that have been proved innocent, but there's also people on death row that everybody knows and they know and they've admitted and all this stuff to everything that they did.
Yeah.
So in those cases, what y'all talking about? Yeah.
Bye, bitch. It's time. Like, bye. But you know, again, like why my. I don't know. And my child says, you know, well, it's worse that they have to live forever, you know, locked up like that. That's the way that you live your life out. Like he said, that they deserve that.
Me?
Not to be easily like, okay. And I get to just go how I go. It's just going to be nice. They're just going to inject me and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me, I have the theory, like Texas at one time was looking because they couldn't keep executioners. I said, hire me. I'll bring them in like slot machines, two at a time. Cha-ching, cha-ching, bring me two more. I will sleep like a baby.
I mean, it's like, it's the whole conflict of like, you know, maybe my kid is right. Like, maybe my kid's worse to just spend the rest of your life like that, and that you have to live that out. But it's also not true, because they still have access to the internet.
They've got color televisions in their cells. They've got access to all kind of schooling.
Yeah.
They get their degree while they're waiting on death row. And that's all footed on the taxpayer dollar.
Yep. And that's what bothers me.
Yeah, I think I read one time where it costs the taxpayer like $138,000 a year per prisoner to house them, feed them, and clothe them. That's a nice salary for somebody.
Yeah.
But we're like clothing, housing, and doing all that for somebody who, you know, in cold blood.
Yeah, did something really icky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was watching this show today while I was supposedly working. Well, I am working. I can't do nothing until the phone rings, though.
You said supposedly, not me.
Yeah, hey. But I was watching this thing on this 14-year-old kid, and he was an honor student. And he talked his best friend into going to the bathroom with him. And then he takes him in the stall and slits his throat. And the cop asks him, he says, what'd you do it for? He goes, I could. He says, you don't feel guilty about it? No. I'm like, what in the hell did his mom and daddy raise? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like nonchalant, like he was talking about, you know, eating a piece of pie or something.
And we wonder what's wrong with the world.
Yeah.
Hi.
You got a 14-year-old kid that's out there, kills his best friend, only friend he had. Then I watched the two little girls that murdered that girl up in Wisconsin on the Slender Man.
Yeah.
12 years old, and they're just like, oh, yeah, we planned this for like 6 months, and like they're just having a normal conversation. We had her come over for a birthday party. We were going to do it at the birthday party, but we all fell asleep, so. The next day we went out and we stabbed her 74 times. I'm like, what in the hell? And no remorse at all. None. Mm-mm. Like they were just having little teenage conversations.
Yeah.
Like it was just a matter of fact.
Someone's dog is angry.
She barked at everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's almost 2 years old. She's an AKC registered chocolate lab, and she is a loud little child, aren't you?
Like
she's looking like she's innocent now. I didn't do nothing.
Mine's having fun during second tears falls coming like she's running.
Go to bed. Don't you look at me like that. Get to bed. Bella?
Yeah, that's not working apparently.
Yeah.
She does not want to go to bed.
Well, Blaine, on that note, we're going to wrap it up. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, it was my honor.
100%. And it's always fun to talk to someone like you. So I appreciate you being on the show.
Hey, yeah. Anytime.
We'll have you back for some more serial killer talk.
Yeah. Next time we do serial killers, we'll have to have you back.
I could talk all night about serial killers. I've got so much information. Matter of fact, I have Ed Gein's fingerprint card.
Really?
Yeah, wow. And I also have Charlie Manson's Corcoran ID badge.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
My ex-wife's brother-in-law. Works at Corcoran Prison, and he got it for me when he died and mailed it to me because he knew that I'm a big like serial killer freak. So
yeah really but it has been a true pleasure to talk to you. I enjoyed meeting you at the Paracon.
We get to do it again next year too at a bigger venue.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. There's my dog barking. So everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for, you know, your time.
It was my pleasure.
Every week. And Blaine, yeah, it was a pleasure.
And we'll have to return the favor and have you guys on our show one night.
Yeah, we'll definitely do it. We'll be there.
Absolutely. And
all right, guys. You guys have a good one. I am going my old butt to bed.
I hear you, brother.
All right. Well, everybody have a great night. And remember, it's full moon. So, you know, set your intention, put your crystals out, make your moon water, do all that.
Make your moon water.
Yeah. Y'all have a great night. Thanks for listening.
Night, y'all.
Night, guys. Thank you.